Hebrew Bible Class, Session 12, Like an Aspen Grove. So this is a, spent the entire episode on another analogy of the Hebrew Bible as an aspen grove in comparison to the other analogy that was being used as a quilt. And I, well, the question at the end was, the Hebrew Bible can be likened to both a quilt and an aspen grove. Do either of these analogies strike you as particularly helpful? Why or why not? And I guess I can just start with, I think that the quilt is a much better analogy by a long shot. Well, here's my answer. So I think the quilt is much more helpful to me because the arrangement, the context, the various ages and origins and order all have intentional design behind them. The aspen grove analogy only brings a connection or common source to the table. The aspen grove discussion also has very little biblical backing, and it kind of blurs the lines between canon and non-canon. In the aspen analogy, the non-canon writings are also offshoots, but it's not clear why they're not in the canon. In the quilt analogy, if it's in the quilt, it's canon. The other writings are related scraps that were not chosen to represent the story of God. And that's my short summary of it. So we kind of talked about how like an aspen grove is, we started off with talking about how some people think of the Bible as like a collection of potted plants. Each one has its own history and background, and they're all, you know, an author and context, and they're all on their own. And at some point, somebody just came in and put a fence around it and said, that's canon. But it's a lot more like a grove of aspen trees where each tree is an offshoot of, and it's connected to the other trees, and they are both continuing to grow separately. So when the first tree offshoots to another one and a new, you know, book starts happening, the original one is still continuing along. And they talk a little bit about how some of these books refer back to, like, at the, you know, you'll get a book that says in the middle of it, you know, the Israelites fell and they were bad all the way up until their exile. Even though that's nowhere, you know, like the story doesn't end anywhere near the exile, we know that somebody later was writing about what was happening earlier, or the whole thing was written much later. And so that book continued to develop as it went along. But then he talked about some other offshoots that are never were considered canon or part of the Hebrew scriptures. And he told us a little bit about the book of Judith, which I had not heard. So Judith means literally Jewish woman. And the bad guy is actually a mashup of Assyria, Babylon, and Persia. It's Nebuchadnezzar, but then he's not king of Babylon, he's king of Assyria, and then he has a Persian general. And Judith's responses are quotes from Moses and Samuel and Deborah and David, and so she is the narrative embodiment of the heroes of Israel, which is cool, and it's a reflection on the Hebrew scriptures, and it kind of puts it all together into this a fictional story. So the Old Testament points forward and illuminates Jesus, and then the New Testament illuminates the Old Testament, so that they both point forward and help make sense of this new kingdom that Jesus brought and that we are a part of and moving forward into the kingdom of God. It was a short initial discussion. Then there were some questions. Somebody asked the question, is it the older parts of the Old Testament, do they carry more authority? Do we need to figure out which ones those are and pay more attention to them? And although it's useful to identify them, that can lead down some unhelpful and dangerous places. Apparently that was actually done in Germany in biblical scholarship in the 18th and 19th centuries. Oh, sorry, 1800s, 1900s. To reverse engineer the quilt, as it were, and find the older, more authoritative parts. They were trying to do this to remove the Jewishness from them and to just boil it down to the authoritative parts of the Bible, partly as the anti-Semitic movement was happening in Germany. So that, you know, kind of puts puts it into our own historical context of why and when that was happening. Basically, the answer was no. It's not helpful. It can be done, but it's not. It doesn't draw us closer to Jesus and closer to a deeper understanding of how the scriptures point to Jesus and into the kingdom of God. Another question came up about the early fathers, early church fathers, and do we listen to them? Are they authoritative in their own way? And the answer there was, well, we do, whether we like it or not. The term Trinity doesn't actually appear anywhere in the Bible. The term Trinity is the third or fourth generation Christ followers reading and reflecting and interpreting the Bible, and they, in the Old Testament and the New, trying to understand this complex portrait of God, and they came up with the term Trinity to represent the three parts of God, aspects of God that we can see in Scripture clearly, and so that's what being a part of that community is living in a community together, looking back and trying to understand and then teach and live in light of the Scriptures, in light of what Jesus taught, in light of what the Old Testament taught and explained, and trying to live that out. And so part of that is going to be interpreting. And yeah, so layers of context. So I was not a particular fan of the Aspen Grove analogy. It has a few points that can be helpful, but I think the quilt analogy is better, although I don't have an ancient family quilt that's built out of my great-grandmother's wedding dress and my, grandfather's overalls or whatever it is people put in old family quilts. Quilts that we have around here, I have some quilts that were made by my grandmother, and she chose, images and symbolic things that were awesome. But the material itself wasn't from an earlier thing, at least not that I know of. So the analogy doesn't quite hold as much weight as I think it might with others either. So, yeah, next up, what are we talking about next? We're coming toward the end of the origin, and so then next we're going to get into interpreting the Hebrew scripture, and I think that's going to be really good. Especially, we're going to go through the poetry and then narrative, and then repeated words and design patterns. Those are the top level units that we're going to go through here. So, there's that.